precious name of Jesus this evening.
Bring you greetings from Verrisburg congregation. And I know I've never been out here in Altoona church service. So I was through Altoona one time, but a long time ago. So it's good to be here and worship God. The same God you worship here, we worship back at Verrisburg too. I assure you of that. So I'm thankful for that we can worship together. And I also know, as we think about the subject we have this evening, that the same devil that is tempting us back in Verrisburg probably is tempting the same here in this city. And I am blessed to see a church in a city that is it brings its own set of challenges, I'm sure. I know probably not all of you live in the city, but it is doesn't matter where you live, we're still challenged in life. But appreciate those thoughts, Brother Rodney, on God and his promises and his that God does not change. I'm thankful for that this evening. God does not change. As we think of the subject this evening, I should have asked Kirvin again just to make sure that I was the right subject. I hope so. Purity in a permissive age, was that what it was? As I think about that, you know, as we think of a subject like this, I cringe sometimes as I bring a message like this, because I know my own weaknesses and my own failures maybe at times, and the devil wants nothing more than to destroy God's people. And he can do that through society and people around us and all everything that makes it work. So I appreciate an interest in your prayers as we look into God's word this evening, see what God has for us. Purity in a permissive age. You can turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 4. We'll start maybe there. I wasn't sure exactly where to start on a subject like this. A permissive society. Are we living in a permissive society today? Probably a pretty dumb question. I'm sure you don't have to think about that too long. Sexually permissive, I'm going to say, primarily is what we're going to look at this evening. People are permissive in a lot of different aspects of God's laws, right? That we don't have to look very far to see that. But I think when we talk about purity, we're talking about moral purity. Regarding how we handle our bodies and what we do with the impurities that come our way. Immorality, impurity. Opposite of pure. Moral failure, we maybe would call impurity. Failure in that which is right. Impurity refers to unclean thoughts, ideas, or fantasies, or any other form of sexual corruption, I would say. And moral purity is an age-old problem here. So I'd like to begin by returning 1 Thessalonians 4. One verse I thought of is, as we think of the subject of purity in a permissive age, and Peter is talking here, I just read this verse not too long ago here in Acts, I'm talking here. Acts 2, verse 40, I'll just quick read here. Peter is preaching, and he says here in this verse, "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation." And that untoward, that word untoward, I believe, is bad or unfavorable or improper, not appropriate generation. And that's the generation that we're living in. And God's desire is that we would save ourselves, our families, and our churches from a generation like this. 1 Thessalonians 4. There's a lot of verses that we could have looked at this evening, and I didn't know where to stop and where to start. I probably have too much already as we look at this. But starting at verse 1 of 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul's talking to the church of Thessalonica. Starting there in verse 1, he says, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For we know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because of that the Lord is the avenger of all such things, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. That's maybe a thought that I just like to think about. It's not God's desire, obviously, we know that, not God's desire that we would be called to impurity. The lifestyles that are around us today, the permissive lifestyle around us. And I'd like to, my desire in this message is that somehow we would see God's desire for us as God's people and his huge claim on our lives in this society that we live in, this permissive society that we live in. God has not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. Holiness like himself, God Almighty. And we can't even begin to, I don't believe, understand holiness quite. And of who God is and all his purity, righteousness, virtue. God has called us to that. God can sanctify us and he can make us clean so that we can live in a permissive society today. And that's what as we look at it this evening, purity in a permissive society. You know, moral purity, I'm going to say, is an age-old problem. We don't have to go very far to look at that. All through scriptures, there's that trail, that sad trail through scriptures of people who failed in moral purity. A lot of it was the cultures that they were in. A lot of times, oh, it starts with, I don't even know if it starts there, but we have Ham in Noah's son Ham. We have Abraham, you know, he was stressed in the society that he was in to take things into God's hand. We have Lot and his family. We have Reuben. We have Tamar. We have the children of Israel. We have Samson. We have David. We have Amnon, the woman at the well, coming into the New Testament, the woman at the well. We have the woman being accused of adultery. We have the Corinthian church. You know, they were preached that pretty strongly about the society that they were living in, and I believe it was very much bearing on them. Timothy was warned over and over again as we think about staying pure in a very prevalent age, of permissive age, I'm going to say it like that. So why is this chain of immorality recorded? Well, I think it's for you and I today. To realize the times have not changed. The same devil that was there is the same devil that is today. The same God that was there, it's the same God that's today too as well, to help us through that. Proverbs gives us much instruction, especially against impurity and how to fight against that and how to remain pure. In thinking about all this, the Bible does talk about the world becoming worse, waxing worse and worse. And 2 Timothy 3 and 4, we probably would talk about that. It talks about a downhill slide as we think about that. Jesus tells us in Luke 17 that the last days are going to become like the days of Noah, the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. And I believe that we are maybe approaching we are in those last days. Very, very, people seem to, all you have to do is just read the news and just watch around us. As we think about it, here we are in 2016, immorality is on display all around us. If we, with some in our cultures or in our church group or as we live our lives, we're somewhat protected, and yet we're not. It's still there. And I thought about reading Romans 1. If you remember Romans 1 there in 17 to 32, it gives a long list of horrible things that the world is, God gives these people over to, reprobate mind, it says. And they go down the list of everything that we see today, almost. I think so, if you want to read that list. And I'm just going to give it in modern day terms. We have divorce and remarriage. We have live-in. We have fornication, alternate lifestyle, sodomy, unnatural affection, men with men, women with women, people to animals, people who become extremely bold and brazen, laws that are being changed to try to accept this. You know, they're permissive, right? That's what we talk about, being permissive. Sensual music, child abuse, abortion, pornography, and that's internet, TVD, DVDs, movies, TV, magazines, whatever it may be. prostitution, we have casual sex, swingers, cyber sex, I mean, you have the whole list, self-abuse, undress and foul language. The public school system with all its education is all too, it's permissive now. Isn't that the way the culture is being thought of? And in my studies, I came across the fact that somewhere I read this. I don't know exactly where this was at, but Harvard University itself, you know, a big, I don't even know what they teach all there exactly, but a big university, older university, has their very own porn site, Harvard University, and that's an art today. They would classify it that way. But, you know, this world is changing. Very sexually permissive, I'm going to say it like that. Permissive. A permissive society. I looked up what the dictionary, or what, just typed in permissive society in online, and this is what it has to say. It's a society in which social norms become increasingly liberal, especially with regards to sexual freedom. This usually accompanies a change in what is considered deviant. Permissive. What's permissive? What's granting or inclined to grant permission, tolerant, or lenient? A disregard of traditional social morals. That's the society that we live in today, as I think about that. You know, probably it's called the age of sexual revolution. Sexual freedom has increased because it's become permissive, so much so. Includes the freedom to take part in sexual activities that were previously considered terrible. It's considered okay today. Even, you know, even 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, even in my lifetime, you think about some of these things that were considered evil and perverted are now considered okay, accepted. This is the society that we live in. I don't need to tell you a whole lot more about that, but it is very real to us today. Permissive society, they would say, probably has its roots maybe back somewhat in the 60s, where you have the hippie movement coming on and free love and rock music and all that, allowing all that to come on. Some of the slogans maybe that they would use today, what consenting adults do in private is their own business. It's my body. I can do with it what I want and how I want. I have to have freedom to express myself the way I want to express myself. Anything goes. Enjoy life to the fullest while you're young. It's a permissive society that we live in. And does that affect our church today? I believe it can. I came across some statistics as I was studying that as well. And I know that this is large range statistics, but I got it from Pure Life Ministries out of some of their information. Porn industry does $57 billion per year, of which $12 billion alone is in U.S. alone. That's a big number. 4.2 million porn sites, which is 12%, that's over 10% of all the internet sites is porn. Or you know, evil stuff. That's just that. An average of 2.5 billion pornographic emails are sent per day around the world. I don't know how they come up with this stuff, but it is very real in this society that we live in. We're sheltered to some extent, and yet we're not. That's a little bit about the United States and where the general public is. Now going into Christians, what they would call Christians today, 50% of Christian men are addicted to pornography. Christian men. Now, I know that that's probably not rated quite the same as what we maybe rate it, but 20% of Christian women are addicted to pornography. 60% of Christian women admitted to having significant struggle with lust. Among born-again Christians, 49% believe sexual thoughts and fantasies are morally acceptable. Among born-again Christians, 28% consider pornography as morally acceptable. And we say some of this is, well, that's ridiculous. But it is our society that moves and works and works and continues to work upon us. That's where it is. 57% of pastors said addiction to pornography is the most sexually damaging issue in their church. 68% of divorces involve one party meeting a new party over the internet. 56% of divorces involve one party having an obsessive interest in pornographic websites. And I could go on and on. I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about these. They can almost make you disturbed. Well, they can get you disturbed. But it is a very real thing today, and it's not just out there. That's the thought that I'd like to leave this evening is we need to be on our guard. This world is constantly changing. God's word does not change. And you and I cannot, we need to stand firm in that. That's where we need to be. One out of three visitors to adult websites are women. It used to be years ago that it was just more of a men issue. Today, because of the permissive lifestyle, it is men and women. It is real today. Someone has said, and we think about this, we think, well, how much worse can it get? Someone has said that if it gets any worse, God will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah when he destroys. That maybe sounds a little funny, but it is real. This world is getting worse and worse. I know God won't have to apologize to anyone, but how long until God's judgment will fall? Sometimes we think about that. It has always fallen on nations that go into moral decline in this area. It's always happened. Sodom and Gomorrah, we have Judah, we have Israel, we have the Ammonites, the Syrians, we have Babylon, and on and on and on and on. The United States is on the list too, as well as a lot of other countries. But 1 Corinthians 6, Galatians 5, Colossians 3, Revelation 22, I believe, give a little bit to a list of immoral things, some of those things that I mentioned. And many times on the list of things, it gives a list of sins. And many times on the list of sins is usually sins of the flesh, of immorality listed first. God is very serious about it, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And many, many times when he says it, if you do these sins, you cannot have eternal life, or you cannot see God. You can't do these things. The long and short of it is you can't do these things and get to heaven. There's not even a chance. But society says, if that's what you believe, that's fine. But somehow I'm going to do my own thing. I'll take the chance, maybe they say. I don't know exactly what they think, but that's what happens. And immorality really is about selfishness as we think about that. And I'm not going to take the time to go into that, but you think about, we live in an era where it's about pleasing self. That's really what it comes down to. And when it comes into the church and you find someone who has, or even ourselves, and it's lust that we see, or we look at things and we tend to let our eyes linger longer than they should, or whatever it is, it's about pleasing self. That's what it is. And the 7th, 8th, and 10th commandments: thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not covet. And it's interesting that they're sort of in that thing, in that order. Not only covet just things, but he says, thy wife, thy neighbor, nor his wife, nor his, on and on and on and on. He goes. He says, all about serving self. Idolatry. Very much involved with immorality. If you look in the Old Testament, a lot of the gods were about, you served a god, immorality was involved with it. The devil knows that's part of it. Prostitution was a big thing in that. As you think about purity, what do you think of when you think of something pure? As we change gears here a little bit, 1 Peter 1 verse 16 says, First Peter 1, verse 16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. God is asking his people. God cannot look upon sin and tolerate sin. Turn to 1 Corinthians 6. So in and of ourselves, we cannot be pure. God is pure. In and of ourselves, we cannot be pure. And I'd just like to look at a couple verses before we look at a couple points in some areas that we can be faithful, remain faithful in this society that we live in. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 to 11. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. He's talking to the Corinthian church, talking to you and I today. And such were some of you. But we are washed. Ye are washed. Ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And that is one of the things, the blessings that we can have today, is that God can come, Holy Almighty God, and I can't imagine this, but I know that happens in my heart, and I know it can happen in your heart. But Holy Almighty God can come down to this sinful earth, this corrupted earth, and take someone like me, or someone like you, who can get dirtied ourselves in the things of this world, and God can wash us. God has provided a way to be cleansed. You're washed. God is still in the saving business today. Like David, who turned into God, we too can be forgiven. Ephesians 2. Turn to Ephesians 2. I have just a couple more here I'd like to read. Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 3. Paul talking again to the Ephesian church. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to this permissive society. You walked according to that, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit of that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, or we lived in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But again, God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he hath loved us, even when we were dead, he quickened us. And I'll just stop reading there. But he quickens us. God is still calling people out of this permissive society. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. 1 Peter 2, 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of this permissive society, called you out to live a different life into this marvelous light. The battle to be pure affects all mankind. As I thought about that, no one is exempt. When we think about this, sometimes we think that we know we can go off and we can live off by ourselves somewhere, and we can totally isolate ourselves. And to some extent, you can do that. But the devil is still very real there. When it comes to, our minds can still run. Our thoughts can still think about impure things. And each person struggles with purity in some form or the other. Maybe some of us more than other ones. I believe that that's the case. But the devil wants nothing more than to have us fall one way or the other in our own lusts. He wants nothing more than to have good, conservative people caught up in this dark thing of immorality and lust and purity and become permissive to the society that's around us. And just start allowing things into our homes, into our churches, into allowing things in our lifestyles like the world around us. That's what the devil wants, nothing more than that. 1 Timothy, turn to 1 Timothy 4. Here Timothy, a young pastor, a young man, I believe, was living in a sexually permissive society. And I do not have any idea if it was anywhere close to what it is today. But it was very real back then as well. The Greeks and Romans were very immoral people. And it was very accepted in that age. Idolatry was very wrapped up in that. And here Timothy was right in the middle. Separation means to be away from that which is near. And that's sometimes hard to think about that a little bit. But we are living in this society that has permissive. We're all around us. And yet God calls us to be separate. Well, we can't go off and live somewhere else. We're to live in this world. God calls us to live in this world. We can't go off and live in another world. That's very obvious. But we can be separate in our hearts and our minds in this world. And just a couple verses as God calls him, as Paul calls Timothy out. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. He calls him out. 1 Timothy 5, 1 and 2. Verse 2, rather, it is. With all purity, he says at the end of verse 2. Again, to Timothy, verse 22. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partakers of other man's sins. Keep thyself pure. Again, talking about keeping yourself pure. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. Flee. He's saying this to Timothy. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. He wanted Timothy to realize that purity is God's design. It's very imperative that he stays pure in the world that he lives in. God's desire is for purity. And too often we think, I believe that, and this is part of the society that we live in, but too often we think that we can be mostly pure. Or everything but here. Or whatever it may be. You know, and as I thought about that, you know, I have a white shirt on here. And I could have a quarter inch black spot somewhere here. Is my shirt clean? Well, it's mostly all white, right? And you could look at that shirt. You probably wouldn't see that you probably would see the little small black mark quicker than you see my shirt. That black mark would bug you on my shirt. But most of it is clean, right? Almost all of it is clean. But you know, somehow we like to think that way with God sometimes, I think. And we think that we can just have this little small portion that's okay. You know, the rest of me is white. And we think we think we can get by with it. And you know, in our Mennonite culture, we are so blessed with Christian day schools and no TV and church guidelines and much protection. Never be thankful enough for that. But our society's way of thinking is, and its way of dressing, its acceptance of all its electronic gadgets, its openness, all has a bearing on our minds as we think about that. God is looking for a pure bride someday. Malachi 3, verse 17 says, those who are pure, shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. And that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. I pray that God would find us there. God would come back and he would find the church at 4th Avenue as jewels for him. But the only way to do that is to remain pure in this society. You know, they find jewels among the rocks, right? That's where they find that kind of stuff. I don't quite understand all of that exactly, but a lot of times it's out there in the dirt. That's where they find that. In this society, we still can be a jewel for God in this society. So how can we remain there? I just have a couple points here I'd like to look at very quickly. I actually have a fair amount of them here, but I think some of them sort of tie together. I'd like to just look at them here. What are a few things for us to keep in mind to be victorious in this dangerous battlefield, in this permissive society? Some of them are very obvious. But number one, we talked about this a little bit in some of the verses we read. But number one, we have to be changed. You cannot remain pure or stay pure or be pure in a permissive society unless you're going to be changed. Very obvious, but it's a transformation that needs to take place. Today, many people try to live a good lifestyle without being changed. And folks, it won't work. We must come in repentance to Almighty God. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, it says. How? By the renewing of our mind. So you can prove that purity is possible to this world because of and through God. God, I want what you want for me in this world that I live in. a desire to be clean, a desire to be holy, a desire to be pure, but it requires a change, requires repentance on my part. And times, you know, when I've failed, I have to go to God and I have to ask Him again, Lord, transform me again. This renewing of our mind isn't just a once and done thing, I don't believe. It needs to be constantly happening. This world is just wears on us. It constantly takes maintenance. Constantly renewing our mind. Society, permissive society that we live in, definitely is far from having renewed minds. We don't have to go very far from that. Dirty minds, warped minds, twisted minds. And they can't come close sometimes. But you know, at the beginning of a day, when you're heading out to the work job, to the job site, ask God to renew your mind today as you leave. You don't know what all is going to happen in that day, whatever it may be. Maybe you're going on a shopping trip. You're going to be alone that day. Ask God to purify my mind, keep me transformed so that I can remain faithful to God throughout the day. Before opening my computer, before stepping on the job site, before facing the customers on this day, some of you, if you work in public, warm weather brings all kinds of undress. It takes a constant asking of God to transform my mind so that I can view things as you want me to view them in the society that I live in. Ask God to, again, cleanse my mind, renew my mind, be a changed person. That's very basic, but that is true. Number two, we have to focus on the commandments and promises of the Holy One, of the pure, holy God Almighty. And that will go a long way. You know, society has lost those views a long time ago. Or they just don't care, maybe I should say it like that. Heaven is not even remotely possible for the impure. And that's serious. Psalm 24, verse 3 said, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath a clean hand and pure hearts." Relates to our character and our conduct, I believe. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Those are the ones who are going to see God. God's requirement is for purity. We need to accept what God has for us, what God has required for us. Sometimes society looks around, the permissive society says, well, why can't I enjoy life? Maybe the world does it like that. But as we view God and His holiness and who He is and the promises that He gives as He lays out those rules, for those guidelines for us, requirements for us, therefore our betterment and our good and for our protection, as we think about that in the society that we live in. God lays things out. It's not good for a man to touch a woman. It's not good if a man looks on a woman to lust after her, he hath already committed in his heart already. Different things like that God has said, that's for our protection. And God, his commandments are not grievous as we have a changed heart and we think about that, what God wants for me. Number three, we need to remember in this permissive society, this is sort of contrary to what everyone thinks, to what society thinks, but your body is not your own. Today, people think, you know, I can just do how I want. My body is my own and I will use it how I want to use it. I am my own boss. A very wrong view of our bodies, even Christians, sometimes maybe. What harm is there in doing this or that? In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18, we read, the Christian's body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. And I don't think that I comprehend that enough. But holy, almighty God comes down and lives inside of this sinful flesh, earthen vessel. A house for God to live in. Pure, holy, almighty God is going to dwell inside of humanity, but only if it's clean and pure. And God can make it that way as we allow Him to do that. But it's against, when fornication or an immoral lifestyle is committed, it makes a person feel horrible. It makes a person feel terrible, dirty, worthless, because fornication is done against the body, the temple of the Holy Ghost. When the house of the Holy Spirit is defiled, the spirit leaves. And that's a terrible place to be when that happens. The promise of happiness the devil gives comes when he thinks about impurity. but leaves when it's done. That is something that's so true. The promise of peace comes from God when the house is pure and clean. As we think about our bodies. Number four, we need to understand and see our own heart as God sees us. And that can be taken a couple different ways. God sees us as poor human flesh. And he realizes that. He realizes the weaknesses that we have, but he also gives us, enables us and gives us the power to live above that as well. But we read in Ephesians 2, he says, "And such were some of you. We all were called out. We all were living in the lust of the flesh, and we're still tempted with the lust of the flesh. And it doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, whether you're Baptist, Amish, Methodist, Catholic, whatever you are, Protestant, no religious group is exempt from the pressures of impurity. No matter the culture, I thought about that as well. No matter if you're Chinese, you're European, you're Asian, you're South American, Indians of Ecuador, whatever it may be, that temptation, it's a universal temptation for all mankind. We are not some Mennonites here in Pennsylvania. We are not some special protected group from this. We do have special, very many blessings that God has given to us. But we need to realize that we are sinful flesh. Doesn't matter if you're old or young. At least that's what I'm finding. Doesn't matter if you're a mom or a dad, or a teacher or a parent, a preacher, businessman, repairman, secretary, whatever it may be. Life is very real. Whether you're married or unmarried, that spot that was big was washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. And maybe for some it was more than once. Maybe sometimes we know of people or even ourselves, maybe we've failed several times and God has to come and cleanse us again, wash us again, most possible with forgiveness. But the fact of the matter is, where are we at today? We can't always dwell on the past and where we are, but God looks at us, and I guess my thought here with this is that God sees my heart. And sometimes I think I can hide things, or I can be like the world, and I can keep things, I can live two standards. And maybe this is foreign. Maybe I'm thinking too negatively, but I think this can happen in our churches today, where we think that somehow we can live a double life. But remember, God sees us all. There are no walls thick enough. There are no recycle bins clean enough. There are no passwords hard enough. There are no skulls thick enough. There are no whispering quiet enough that God does not see and hear and look at the things that we do in this world. And that's what this permissive society forgets, that God sees everything. And he knows your past condition, he knows my past condition, he knows my present condition, and he knows where I am headed. And we need to realize that and accept that. God knew the hearts of the men who wanted to stone the woman taken in adultery. He knew every single action of the woman at the well. Today he knows each one of ours as well. And the society that we live in, you know, it wears off on us that somehow we can keep quiet and we can do these own little things. But God still sees us. God knows our heart, and he wants to find us pure. And many go through life, I'm amazed at this, many go through life hiding sins, little sins like this, my little, big sins, I should say. I don't know if there's little and big sins, but as you think about that, there are people who go through life instead of confessing it, but God knows it all. In this society, that is something I think that wears on us more and more. There's nothing big enough to keep the secret from judgment. We need to reckon with that fact. Number five, we need to maintain a right view of marriage. And this is for the married and the single. You know, Hebrews 13, verse 4 says, "Marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." And I think sometimes this whole thing with marriage, this permissive society is warping it so bad it's not funny. Marriage as God created it. Male and female is honorable. It's perfect in God's eyes. God created it the way he wanted it. He instituted it from creation. Don't let the permissive ways of society ruin that, whether you're unmarried or married. It's nothing to be scared of. You know, sometimes in the past and sometimes today, there can be a wrong view of marriage, maybe. But marriage is honorable in all. It's designed by God, planned by God, instituted by God, sanctified by Him. It's something pure. It's right. What a husband and wife come together, the bedroom is undefiled if it's done in God's way. Let's not be confused with it. There are things that are done at the right time, right places, the right way. But intimacy is wonderful. It is designed in perfection by God. We can't forget that fact. The world is, in this permissive society, has warped and changed and messed everything up so much. And sometimes I think it's it can wear sometimes on us, maybe more so. And I think for us as parents, we need to show that to our children, that we love mom or dad. And we show that. No, we aren't. We are careful for protection, but we rejoice with the wife of our youth, as the Bible says, in love together. Number six, as I thought about this society, it's one thing that the world doesn't do, but we need to keep foremost in our minds, we need to weigh the cost of impurity. Permissive lifestyle, they just play now, pay later. That's the lifestyle. That's the society we live in. Very much so, and that goes in all aspects of life, but a lot in this area. You know, it does us good to sometimes stop and consider the cost in the life of permissive living. The worry of being caught, the hurts, the broken homes, the distrust, the dishonesty, the bitterness, the emptiness, the no self-esteem, on and on and on. Not too long ago in our area, there was a man shot his wife inside a store, then walked out, sat on the bench, and shot himself because of immorality in his life. And it's a tangled web, all because of unfaithfulness. We reap what we sow. I think Brother Rodney alluded to that. We do reap what we sow. Memories, regret, pictures, people, places, things, struggles with assurance of salvation. That's all part of people who, that can be the reapings of people who allow things like that in their life. David, after his sin, seems like one catastrophe after the next. Death, family turmoil, his children, reap what we sow. If only he would have considered the cost when he was upon that rooftop. Before he was upon that rooftop, I guess I should say it like that. Number seven, flee instead of feed. I think we need to think about that sometimes. This permissive world is messed up in this. You know, I can look at this little thing and I'll be okay. There's no harm in texting him or her. That's okay. It's just being whatever. I'll just skim over this part of the book. Or whatever it may be. I'll just take a quick look. But in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18 says, flee fornication. It doesn't say feed fornication. It says flee fornication. The world jumps right in and feeds fornication. Immorality, I should say it like that maybe. As Christians, we are to flee. But how often do we feed instead? Think about it in your own lives and the things that you do in life. And the struggles maybe that you have or whatever it may be. Are you fleeing daily, or are you feeding some? Joseph was a great example of that. You know, if every time that Potiphar's wife would have came to him, I think he left. But if he would have fed that, you know, just a little bit every time, just kept feeding it until finally the last time he would have fed it all, he would have had a problem. And too often, I think, as Christians, we think that we can dapple with some things a little bit. And I'm not going to go into a lot of different details on different things, but we think sometimes, and then we wonder why in our churches we have problems with this or that, and this pops up. And this person, you realize that he had this problem, or this girl had this problem, whatever it may be in regards to purity. We have not learned to flee. We feed instead. This world is very twisted in that. You know, they love to talk about godly, they like to talk about love, but it's not godly love. They have minds and consciences that are defiled. They talk about it, they sing about it, and they dress in a way that is immoral. We need to flee, not feed. What kind of music do you listen to? So you think about that. That's a long, that in a subtle way, young people, or even older people for that matter, has a subtle way of feeding the wrong thing. Subconsciously, it feeds permissiveness. Books, maybe girls do this a little bit more, I don't know. Women, romance, and sensual stories. We may use the excuse, well, it's not the act. I'm not looking at anything immoral. What articles do we read? What do we feed on? Whether it's news-related. You know, can't even look at much news stuff without immorality in there. Does who we will be with affect the way we dress or handle ourselves? Social media. I don't know exactly where all you stand on all that, but that's a whole other bucket of worms that affects us very much so. How much can we dapple? How much can we dapple and not be feeding? What are we willing to stop the feeding? Whether it's social media or whether it's cell phones or whether it's internet use, or whatever it may be. The Bible says, Jesus says, if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee. If it's your arm, cut it off. But you know, today in our world, we think we need all these things, right? We need all the technology. We need all this and that. We need to go here, or we need to do that. We need this. What are we willing to not feed, but flee? If it's a cell phone, if it's whatever it may be, if it's a delivery, maybe it's a delivery stop that we as men stop at every day, and that's that same cashier that's there every day, or the same secretary, or whatever it may be. I'm just using all kinds of different things there, but what are we willing to do to stand up and draw a line and say this is where we're going to be? Maybe it's time limits on our internet use. Maybe it's accountability. Sometimes I believe we wonder why we struggle and we cry out, why, God? Why can't you just take us away from him? Probably it's because we feed too much and we don't flee. And I know that's easier said than done, but God gives us the power. He provides a way of escape, right? That's what he does. And so often it's that old nature inside of us, but we need to daily crucify it. Many times when our eyes or our mind is dwelling somewhere too long, we probably weren't starving the old man. Instead, we were feeding him some chunks of meat, little by little. Flee, don't feed. Number 8, guard our homes and children in this society. That's something that is so important. I can't stress that enough. But guard them with godly jealousy, parents. Purity is laid out in the homes by you as parents, husband and wives. What is allowed, what is not allowed. What dress is allowed, what undress, and what swimming and modesty and what talk is allowed and what, you know, back and forth. There's a lot of different things that's all involved in this whole thing that the world is wrapped up in. What friends we let our children have, what neighbors we let them go be with, what associations. It's real. This permissive society could wear on us very much. It's something as parents that we need to stand up for. How discreet are we when we're talking about moral issues? Or failures, or marriage relationship. Guard your children's innocence at all costs. And I know I'm not telling you anything new, but it is very more important than ever, probably. There are times to talk about things, but there are also times to just wait until they're older to talk about some things. And this society is wrapped up in education. You know, make sure they know early. Make sure they know what's going on in life. I think we've come a long way, but sometimes this society is going the wrong way, is going further than it should be going, I believe, as far as telling our children the facts of life and different things like that. It's very important, but check up on them, family gatherings, whatever it may be, friends for long periods of time, listen to their talk, encourage them with right talk, discourage early boy-girl relationships, foolish talking, know their friends and what they talk about. Parents, and I don't have children quite that have cell phones yet, but it's imperative that you as parents take responsibility ask for your son or daughter's cell phone. Look at it a little bit. What's happening on there? How much texting is happening? What's going on? There's nothing wrong. You are the parent. You're responsible. And I'm talking to myself someday that I'll have to do the same thing. But their social network, or their social networking, and what all is happening with that activity, or even their personal purity. Check up with them. This permissive lifestyle is all about you do your thing, I do my thing. And we all do our own things by ourselves. We are parents, guard your children's purity. I thought about even, you know, a filter system is not the safe all. But we as dads, or mothers for that matter, are not being careful when we bring computers in and cell phones in and not protect them right away. And I know that's not the safe all. But what if that one time is enough to trigger that interest for the future? You know, it's not just the job for the watchman on the wall or the ministry or the internet committee or whatever you have set up at your... That's not enough. They have enough work. Do your part in this society. Make a difference. Pray for them. That's a very important thing. Number 9, be accountable and honest. And this world is full of people who are dishonest, lie to spouses, cheat, hide texts and emails and whatever it may be. They don't want to be held accountable to no one. Honesty and openness to the brotherhood is needed more than ever today. I believe that with my whole heart. The devil wants us to think that, and as I think about accountability, and I don't know if you have this here at our, but our church, we have little accountability groups that we're responsible to different people. And a little bit of a concern that was going to maybe take it too far, take it away from brotherhood, large brotherhood accountability. But I've been blessed over and over again, sitting in a group of 18-year-olds up to 70-year-olds, of the struggles that the 70-year-old faces that I'm surprised at. And it helps me to know that, you know, I'm not alone in fighting this battle. This world is, the devil wants us to think that each one of us have our own struggles and we, you know, you're abnormal. You're struggling on your own and you get discouraged and he wants to take you down that way. Life is real. We need to be honest about that. And the sooner we can expose that to our brotherhood and share back and forth. I'm not saying that we overlook sin, but that we share and we hold people accountable to this or that, whatever that may be. And you know, a lot of times it may have nothing to do with technology or internet or anything like that. It's just watching our eyes and whatever that may be, or our thoughts. Who we come in contact with. Be honest with your brother or sister. Husbands to wives. Wives to husbands. Wives, you have a responsibility to ask your husbands. Husbands, we have a responsibility to answer them honestly about things. Children to teens, I talked about that a little bit before. Public confessions are necessary at times, and that is part of being where God wants us to be in this permissive society. A society that says it's okay. Number 10, the last one I have, is we need to be a witness in this society. God is still looking for, he's looking for pure people in this permissive society, but he also is looking for people who are standing up, going to stand up and stand out and say what needs to be said at times as a light and a salt. He says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready to give an answer. Be ready always to give an answer. You know, it's unheard of today for a pure young man or young woman. The statistics show that. This permissive society, it's acceptable if you've had a relationship probably at 13, 14, 15. And the world looks on with awe. You're crazy. But it is possible. God can help us to be those people. Most people understand that, you know, a 30 to 40-year-old maybe starts settling down a little bit. But a 17, 18-year-old? Stand out. Stand up. Tell them that you're for real about being pure because God wants you to be that. A real witness. What about our speech? You know, as I think about our speech. You know, a lot of words have double meanings, and we could, you could, it's the things that we use in the society that wears off on us. Are we allowing it just to wear off on us and change us? The Bible says that they have minds and consciences that are defiled, and that is so true. What do they joke about? Unfaithfulness, immodesty, body forms, take pictures of perfect godly things and twist them. Homosexuality, how easy do we find ourselves joking maybe somewhat a little bit about some of these things? Make light of sin. What must God think? You know, it's one thing to, when a customer comes in, he shows you something on his cell phone, maybe it's an ungodly picture, whatever it may be. For some reason, maybe it's not totally a modesty, but it's somewhat. It's one thing to laugh, okay? That's sinful, right? We would say that. Another thing to look and walk away from it. That's one way. But there's another aspect is to renounce that person or tell that person, you know, I don't look at that because I am married. I am faithful. Also, I'm responsible to Almighty God. It takes guts sometimes to do that. And we could go on talking about various different areas. I've only scratched the surface. But for the person who has failed or is struggling, there is a balm in Gilead, and that's Jesus. And Jesus is there to help us. He will cleanse us if we allow him to do that. Christ says in John, he says, if I wash you not, you have no part with me. Christ is coming someday for his holy bride, unspotted bride, his pure bride, out of this world. Will you be part of it? Will I be part of it? I trust that we will this evening. Even though it seems like times, you know, this is getting worse and worse and worse and worse, and we can look around and we almost become discouraged about it. It remains harder and harder to be faithful, but we think it becomes harder and harder to remain faithful. I should say it like that. God's grace is sufficient. His power is unlimited. We cannot forget that. We cannot forget that. We need to cling to his hands, to the hand of God to help us through this and reach out to him in prayer. Fill our lives with the fruits of the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Ask God daily to fill me with your Spirit. I was going to look at Revelation 22, but I'm not going to take the time to do that. But the end of time, God is going to be coming back, and he's going to be taking those to heaven who are faithful to him. Those who are pure. The pure in heart shall see God someday. Purity with God forever. And as I think about that in this evil, sinful world, a pure bride for God, for Jesus coming back for a pure bride. I thought of the song we sing sometimes, Come and Dine. One of the phrases in there is, oh, 'twill be a glorious sight, all the saints in spotless white, and with Jesus they will feast eternally. In this permissive age, in this sin all around us, we can be that spotless bride. And I hope that as we go throughout our lives that we can be what God wants us to be in this permissive age. Don't let it wear down on you out here. We'll try not to back home. God is faithful. God has given us all the tools we need to remain faithful to him. And may God help us to be what he wants us to be.